You are now listening to the Purpose Edit podcast.
You got to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to have the ability to self-assess, and not everybody has the ability to self-assess.
You don't necessarily have to like school to be successful in school. You just have to know how to play the game and finesse it and get through it.
Welcome to the Purpose Edit podcast. This is a short yet powerful conversation designed to help you do three things that can ultimately change the trajectory of your life. One, discover your purpose. Two, walk in your purpose. And three, ultimately fulfill your purpose. I am your host, Coach Vic, and I'm joined as always by my lifelong friend, my brother, the educator, Dr. Shane Calhoun.
What's up, Purpose Addicts? Y'all heard the intro. Y'all know who this is. I'm not even going to waste no time. We're jumping right into this one because off air, Doc has been giving me gems, and he blew my mind before we even hit the record button. So I'm gonna jump right in. Bruh, I noticed something. The habits you have as an individual are not the same habits you have as a parent. And I say this because we were having a conversation off air about, you said, I made some decisions and my habits are catching up to me as an entrepreneur. So can you speak on this? Because you are two different people.
Well, what I was about to say before you stopped me, I've had two quotes that have been in my brain. What's up, everybody? I have two quotes that's been in my brain for the last maybe 2 weeks. And one of those speaks to your point, and it's how you do
some things is how you do
everything. Exactly. How you do some things is how you do everything. And you were saying that I have different habits based on my personal life and my parenting. And you probably could say based on professionally to a degree and my accomplishment and my goals based to everything else. And I would argue that that's not necessarily true. What it is we've found ways to compartmentalize certain things. So we don't necessarily do anything the way we do everything when it comes to excellence, but in terms of our bad habits, they carry over into everything. So case in point was, what led us to the conversation is, I told Vic, Coach, that I'm really considering homeschool. How that's going to happen, we don't know yet, but we just believe you speak it and you work towards it and it happens. Today, I kid you not, every day, my goal is every day that I'm home this summer to do works with my son. So every day before, my goal is when I wake up to have his worksheet packets and my ideas of what I'm going to do with him done. So when I wake up, I hit the ground running. All right. So let's just say I've been doing this for 2 weeks. Guess how many times I've had it done?
Every time.
Nope.
I know.
Tomorrow, I actually have them done now. So tomorrow would be the first day going into the morning that I have his lessons done. But guess when I do that as well? I do that at my job. Every single day before class, I'm racing to print worksheets, copy worksheets, doing things at the last minute. How many times have we started this podcast and I'm setting up mics?
Every time.
Every single time. So the trick is, how you do anything is how you do everything. The trick is to find out what you have excelled at, what you're very good at, and try to attack everything from that perspective and bury out those bad habits, like my doctorate degree. Like, I was obsessed with that and getting it right and doing it. I don't think I've worked on anything else to that level in my life. I can say that music. Concretely. Nope.
Music.
Nope.
Have to be.
Don't confuse time with work. Just because I was out there.
Honestly, I was thinking about us coming up, like what music meant to you and has
yeah.
music has shaped and almost defined your life. Your doctorate is in music education.
It has, but I'm talking about, listen to the words though, dedication and focus. I have not done anything in my life to the level, to the dedication and level of focus that I did that doctorate degree.
Do you have the capacity to devote that much dedication and time to anything else? Not, I'm saying at the same time, but I'm just thinking about in life in general as human beings. We have a show about purpose, which kind of suggests that there's only one purpose that you have in life. And so it also suggests that a person only has the capacity to devote that level of attention, dedication, time, and commitment to one thing. So have you used up your dedication? Has it
no, gone? I think the problem is, I think people have the capacity to dedicate themselves to that level, to one thing at a time.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. let's take the family off the board. The family always has to be top priority. Faith, family, goals. All right? So with the faith and the family being top priorities at all times, now when we get to the goals, you can't do everything at once, but you can do everything if you systematically mm-hmm. take care of it and are disciplined to the process. Like, really, the doctorate came down to a couple things. Take the classwork, do the proposal, write the paper, do the defense. Those four things, it happened. And you don't skip processes, you got to do them in order. But when it was time for that one thing, that was the focus. You know,
did you do the doctorate last minute?
Well, the doctorate was weird in the sense of I would do things in spurts. Like, I really feel as though I wrote my final dissertation in about 3 or 4 settings. Like, where I sat down, like, I wrote a chunk of the dissertation the night we was in the hospital with Christian, the night okay. he was born, when my wife was induced or in labor. We were there for about 10 hours. I wrote a good chunk that night. You there?
Yeah,
you look frozen. There was another time leading up to maybe January, December, I did another chunk. And then another big chunk, I spent about 19 straight hours in the library after I had a rewrite. And most of it was that. Now, I was working, like, my goal when I was working on the dissertation was 500 words a day. You need to get 500 words on paper every day. Did I hit that goal every day? No. But the fact that it was a goal and it was set, it really helped push me forward to where I had those dry spells in between those big writing sessions.
Okay. All right. And so how you do anything is how you do
how
everything.
How you do anything
so
is how you do everything.
From the outside, even somebody who's close as I am to you, it appeared that you were a different person in terms of your habits as an individual versus as a parent. And in reality, you're saying I'm the same person.
Oh, same, man. Every day Christian has an appointment at 3:30. I take him to late. or get in there at 3:30. I mean, everything. And it drives my wife insane.
It would drive me insane, too.
Yeah. It
used to drive me insane.
Yeah.
You know what? Kudos to sis for taking my place and putting up with the tardiness as we have planned stuff.
True story. I was actually late for my defense. Almost. Oh my God. I was almost late because I did something at the last minute. I was printing something off and it was panic mode, making sure. I'm not sure that I was late, but I was real close to being late.
Come on.
Yeah, so this is a theme. Again, how you do anything is how you do everything.
When do you decide to change?
Oh, I'm working on it now. I'm knee deep in it now. I am knee deep. And that's what I'm saying. It's like I could use a couple examples, but I'm going to go with the safest one. It's like the alcoholic who decides to go to church and kick alcoholism. And that was not the one I wanted to use.
Of course not. That was too
You get these urges, and it's this battle, you know? And that's what it is right now. I'm in that spot where I want to go and where I am are conflicting. And it is butting heads hour to hour.
You're not the only one. I mean, I too feel that same internal battle, that internal struggle, that internal conflict on a daily basis. And I would venture to say that our audience also, I won't say suffers from, but confronts that same feeling. So I tell you what will be important for us to share is if we overcome the hurdle, coming back and sharing the journey.
Yeah. And that's what we're doing on a week in, week out basis. Like this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like literally week to week, we're walking this thing out. So it's a neat experience. And that's kind of what causes some of the confrontation is that, you know, every week I got to come up here and talk about purpose and what kind of person am I if I'm talking about purpose and I'm not walking in mine or I'm stinking mine up because of procrastination and overplanning and not even overplanning, putting too many things on my calendar.
Mm-hmm. Not guarding and protecting your time.
Not protecting my time. So
yeah,
it's definitely a journey.
Will you text me tonight's topic? I've had some time to think about it, but for the audience, give them some context as to the purpose of today's convo.
In typical Shane fashion, my phone is dead, so I don't remember what I sent you.
Okay, so folks, again, you're getting real life, real time insight as to who we are as individuals and what this dynamic has been like for 20 something years. So you text me and you said, topic, inventory of your beliefs and your environment.
Okay, inventory of your beliefs and your environment. And I wanted to add inventory of your first half of the year. So how has your first, if you were to give the first half of your year a grade, what would the grade be in terms of purpose, professional life, all of that stuff? I mean, everything, and why?
Yeah. I would give the first half of my life a B-. A B-. So that means close to a C, could have been a C, if not for the saving grace of a couple opportunities. So here's the why. This year was the year of 23. And for me, the year of 23 meant greatness, right? Shout out to MJ, top of the list. Don't at me to debate that. Year of 23 was a year of greatness, and I had all these plans and these ideas, like anybody does. But more specifically, I had all of these plans to overcome this lack, this feeling of low productivity. I felt like I wasn't excelling, wasn't performing, wasn't executing at the level that I was used to previous years of my life, previous stages even. However, because I got a coach, right? If your coach don't have a coach, you should get a new coach. I got a coach who helped me to uncover, well, why do you feel that way? And is that feeling substantiated by evidence? Which I didn't have any evidence. It was all a feeling. It was all a thought. Mm-hmm. Nobody else imparted that feeling on me. And so once I realized that and I got clarity on my goals and what I wanted to specifically accomplish, I was able to then change that C- into a B- so far for the first half of this year, as well as there's still areas or specific goals that I want to accomplish. Like in my business as a speaker, I got 3 extra gigs this year that I wasn't accounting for because I put in the first half of this year some extra effort into sourcing new opportunities. as a parent, as a father, as a husband, as a friend, I got better in staying connected and reconnecting on relationships that have mattered most to me. Ones that I may have been the reason they kind of fell off a bit. Mm-hmm. And I've been intentionally, hey, checking in. How you doing? How's it going? Hey, yeah. Getting my family out to come see me. Hey, keep pushing them. Yeah, we gonna come. No, hey, when you coming? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a B minus, but the year isn't done and I still got opportunity. What about you?
When I initially heard you talking, I was gonna give myself a B minus as well, but I'm gonna give myself an A minus.
Ooh.
Reason.
Not competitive at all, but go ahead.
No, yeah, not competitive, but it made me realize, and I think it's something that we miss a lot. I give myself an A minus because professionally I learned a lot. And I was able to accomplish a dream in releasing the book. Mm-hmm. And that came out in the first half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that was enough to be a B minus. But what I feel as though pushes me to an A minus is that I was able to identify and come to grips with a major problem that I have internally in terms mm-hmm. of my procrastination and my time management. Like, it is as real as this computer screen is to me now. It's as real to me. And like, knowing that that's the problem, I have something to attack and mm-hmm. fight. And that's why I always encourage people, there's power in learning and coming to grips with your faults. And when you find mm-hmm. that you have a blind spot or there's something wrong, it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you anything. It gives you an opportunity to learn and grow. Yeah. So now that I have it, the second half of my year now is, how did you fix this problem and continue to thrive?
Yeah. That's good. And that's a great point to acknowledge, not only for yourself, but for other people. This is where they talk about giving grace, right? Recognizing that I do have faults. I do have some opportunities to improve and develop, some skill sets or capabilities, but the question is, have you given up? And if you feel like failure has already hit you, then that means you use it. You don't use it how it's meant to be properly used.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah. You know, I give myself a B minus because I'm trying to be harder on myself, more critical. Let's say more critical of myself mm-hmm. as a way to have more personal accountability. Right. Yeah, so there's one big area of my life is remaining consistent with my health and prioritizing that more now than ever. I was reading through some old notes that I took in my phone a while ago. I looked at the note, the date had to be at least 2 years ago. And one of the things that I wrote down was the average life expectancy is 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that means when you turn 40, that's the halfway point.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
In what way?
You still have over half of your life to live in terms of growth, development, and gaining. Like,
if you're a glass half full, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Or you've reached the halfway point, as we've reached the halfway point of this year, and you look and go, well, what the hell have I accomplished in the clock?
Okay, I take that back. Well, I think that's more to the 20-some-odd people. Mm. Because if you're like 21, 22, 23, the life expectancy is 80. You still have, 75% of your life? 40, 60, 80 to go, ish. And imagine you can, I don't know, I'm going to go with glass half full. I get what you're saying, though. Glass half full, glass half empty. And you said, I done wasted half my life. That's amazing.
Legit, I turned 40 this year.
Yeah, you do. Wow. Let me know how that feels.
Don't say it like that.
I know it.
Like that. Like, I turned 40 this year. And you talk about a personal inventory, right? So because I didn't prioritize my health, not only at the beginning of this year, but for the last few years, now that I want to get back active and get back active in the way that I used to be, my body is not responding the way that I want it to. Like, it's not recovering. My knee, I played my son one-on-one 2.5 months ago for the first time touching a basketball in at least 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Let me make a note that I did beat him one-on-one in both games.
Okay.
Back to back. And my son is 23.
That's good.
Let's put that in perspective, right? So anybody who thinking, oh, you done lost, I might have lost my old step, but understand that my worst step is still your best step. In case you was thinking about that. My knee still hurts 2.5 months later.
Yeah.
And it is messing with me, right? And it's all because in the game of life, as I like to describe it, playing chess, 3-4 moves ago, I didn't make the right move.
Yeah.
Right. But am I still alive in the game? Yes, I am, to your point. So I got an opportunity to not only rehab that knee, but get back dunking.
If anybody was new. I don't know about that one.
Hey, sir. I'm 6'2". I have left space between me and the rim to make up.
Yeah, okay.
It's possible. Hey,
good luck.
It's possible.
Good luck. I mean, I'm not saying it isn't possible. I'm just saying that's a tough one, man. So
when I do, I'm gonna record myself and send it to you.
Okay, please do. We'll put it on the pod. So inventory of self of the past year. So inventory of beliefs and people around you. What you got?
My beliefs, are you asking me to rate my
beliefs? Just grade, like what, like if you're just taking inventory of, and you know what's beautiful is we'll always have this to reference back a year from now.
Yeah.
You know, so like just belief, like where are you? What are you thinking? How do you feel? How do you see life right now?
Yeah. My beliefs have definitely evolved and changed around a number of different areas, but I'll just focus on the four that I've prioritized: family, faith, fitness, and finance. The one central belief around all of that is that at the center of it all lies a person who has the ability to either make a positive or a negative impact. At the center of faith, family, fitness, and finance. I believe that in order to unlock what I need to educate myself. Mm. And the part of me that's evolving is that I'm learning how to become more of a researcher. Mm. I'm learning how to lean more further into my areas of expertise. Things that I used to believe as I gain knowledge are being challenged in this first part of the year more so than ever, because my sphere of ignorance is growing. The more that I learn something, the more I realize how much I don't know. Mm. And so that's been a crazy ride, but it's been a great ride because I'm having conversations with my family and with my friends and my various circles that I wouldn't have had before. And it's opened up and unlocked so many opportunities. I mean, me and my sister are talking about going into business together.
Mm-hmm.
Just a year ago, we were working on rekindling our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like challenging what you've always believed.
Mm-hmm.
It unlocks so much opportunity. So I'm in that place right now about life. What I thought was may not be.
Mm-hmm.
So what is my new reality? That's a bar. I need to record that.
Yeah, you just did.
My dude, boy, for no reason.
Yeah, you said part of where you are right now is educating yourself.
Yeah. And
the other quote I told you, that the quote that been on my brain is how you do anything is how you do everything. The other one that's been on my brain a lot is where your thoughts go, your energy goes. Mm-hmm. And I am beginning to believe that more so than ever before, we can be anything we want to be based on where we just, but it's all predicated on our thoughts. If you believe you can do it, you can do it. And your existence, your very existence is a sum of the things you think and your daily thought of what you digest, what you take in.
Yeah.
The people around you, your environment. And it's realer than ever before. Like, you know anybody that pay quarterly taxes?
Quarterly?
Yeah.
We do. Or as a business, we do.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. I need to be talking to y'all more. You're the first person that I need to talk to you more.
We talk every week.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, this is the level that I want to get to. So if you're telling me you're already paying quarterly taxes, and that's something that I'm discovering, that means it's in my circle. I just didn't know it. Again, where my thoughts are. My thoughts are, key point, and I debated if I was going to tell this story. I had a conversation with a friend the other day, and they were talking about trying to use an example without using any example. I was talking to a friend the other day, and let's just say they said I had to deliver some t-shirts. In my mind, I was like, are you printing t-shirts for somebody or are you running a t-shirt business? They were working for somebody. You see what I'm saying? But it was like, in my mind, I'm like, why aren't you doing this yourself? That's what my brain is, just simply because of what we do. Mm-hmm. But again, it's all coming from what I'm consuming, where I am as a person, what I'm believing, where my brain is and what I'm doing. Like, my belief system is we can be anything we want to be. Like right now, what I'm thinking, I need more money. I don't think I got to go get a 9-to-5 or a side job at Home Depot. My question is now, all right, I need more money. What can I create to make more money? You know what I'm saying? Not that that 9-to-5 is bad. It isn't. Like, if that's what you got to do to supplement your income, I encourage you to do whatever it is you have to do. But for where I am, my time is my time now. I don't have time to do anything for anybody else's business and company. You know what I'm saying? I need to build mine. So, yeah, you can be and do, but it starts right here.
Absolutely. To your point, as you said, whatever has your mind has your body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your feet will follow. You triggered a couple of thoughts in me that I'm curious now to ask you in response related to the conversation. Hello. As you've taken this inventory of the first half of the year, what was the one area that you made the biggest impact in?
Elaborate.
When you think about all that you've done, the work that you've done, right? You printed the book. You've been working as a professor. You are driving impact there, right? You're all of these impactful moments are happening. You're living in them. You may or may not have stopped to recognize them, but as you sit here and reflect back on what could possibly have made the biggest impact to you, which one would you call attention to based on the impact that was achieved?
This is going to be very uncharacteristic, but the biggest impact, I believe, is the impact on me, because I'm realizing I'm as dope as I am on paper. I'm that shit in real life, bro.
It's like, time Snoop gave that speech, first of all, I would like to thank me. I am really that dude. And it would not be for me and all my hard work.
It's like you looking yourself in the mirror, you go through all these things, you do all these stuff, and you're like, I'm him. And it's nothing that nobody can tell me, bro. In the sense of like the validation that people are seeking is not necessarily what I need. It's like the rest of y'all around me could think that I'm a pile of steaming poop, but do I believe in what I'm doing?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like this first half of the year, I like believed in, you know what, you can do and be. You're that guy. Go.
Yeah.
Go and be
about
people,
what
sir.
People call you, it's about what you answer to.
What you answer to. So I will never turn down a compliment. And I thank you. But like I think that's the impact, is just knowing that like you're on the right track, you're doing the work. And I don't think enough of us have enough grace with our own selves and giving ourselves enough credit. Like a lot of what we're pursuing, we weren't taught, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a husband or if you're a wife right now, you didn't get taught how to do that shit. Okay. If you're an entrepreneur, your schooling didn't prepare you for that. In many cases, it is day in, day out grind. Like if you have an LLC, you probably had to go self-discover that stuff. So, like, if you've taken anything that you're good at, anything that you've accomplished, where there was a level of self-discovery, man, big up yourself, man.
That's what's up.
How about you? I forgot the question.
I would say my biggest impact thus far when finding out that my son and his wife, my daughter-in-law, were expecting, hearing their thoughts and responses to questions that are I guess meant to reveal if they're ready, if they feel ready. Their responses were a reflection of our influence. And I say our because I'm including my wife in this. We hear us in them. We see us in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And nobody really is prepared for a child.
Mm-mm.
There's nothing you can do to prepare you for one day of being a parent. But to see the level of calmness that currently exists in them as individuals and as a unit, I would say that's the biggest impact that I've been able to have. And I also will two-part this, because my son shared this and revealed this to us. He said, you know, it's great to see that me and my wife are still looking to learn and grow and try new things like entrepreneurship, different business ventures, right? Because he said, for the longest in his mind, he thought that once you just became an adult, you just an adult and you just live your life. And after a certain point, that's it. Whatever you've settled into career-wise or what have you, that's it. He says, so to see me change careers, to see us buy a new house, to see us travel, to see us open a new business, to see us close a business, to see us make all of these pivots while still continuing to learn and grow. He's like, I got something to look forward to when I get that age. Like, life isn't over.
Life isn't there. Dead end.
It isn't. It is truly whatever you make it. So for me, my impact shows up in my kids.
That's awesome. And that's awesome. And I think that's another downfall of college. Because you get that degree and you think unless you perform, like the only thing you have to look for after you finish a degree is either another degree or your profession.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's so much more to life and what you can possibly have. Let's just say that than what we're taught. And doubling back around, when I say that, just knowing, noticing the biggest impact has been on myself and knowing that it's me, like, I can't overstate enough that I've been trying to get a college job since 2014, bro. Like,
look at math.
2014, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, just to know that, just you stayed the course, and even, and this, you know, here's another thing where time is so important. The things that you taught your son didn't happen in a day. It's over the course of what? Seeds constantly being planted over time. Seeds constantly being planted over time. You know, yep. So it's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah. That's what's up. This is a good combo. Yeah. I'm glad you put this on the docket.
So what's the goal for second half of the year?
I got a revenue goal with regards to each of our businesses. Personally, I am on this journey. I think I've finished so far 8 books. And the goal, yeah.
Reading?
I do audio books.
Okay, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah. So I finished 8 and I...
What's the last one you read?
Viola Davis's autobiography called Finding Me. Dope book. She is the voice of her own audiobook. So if you're looking for a good one, if you like her as an actress, her stories, the stuff that she shares, powerful.
Gotcha.
Powerful. And I think it was perfect for where I am, right? Finding me.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of transition, because that's where I'm at. I'm in a transition, recalibrating, and I'm trying to find me within it. So my goal is to try to finish the year with 12 books. So I got 4 more to go. I said a minimum of 12. And then also rebrand. Not necessarily rebrand. I take that back. That's the wrong choice of words. Recalibrate my business as a speaker and how I show up and the audiences that I serve for, really grow that part of my business, really and truthfully. And one way in doing that is I'm going to be opening back up my coaching side of the business, the coaching arm where I coach people one-on-one to become better leaders of themselves.
Gotcha.
Yep. That is the goal. That's where I'm at. What about you?
I now have a 1-year, 5-year, and 10-year goal. So for the next 6 months, my goal is to focus on my time management and my procrastination, because everything leads and flows through that. You clean that up, boom, 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 things start popping up out of nowhere. So that is the goal for the next second half of this year, is cleaning up procrastination and the time management. In a real way. I'm getting closer.
Yeah. Number one philosophy, guard and protect your time as if your life depended on it.
Yeah.
Because it does.
Yep.
Because it does.
Yep. And guard your time like your life attend, and be in the moment. If you're there, be where your feet are.
Be where your feet at.
Be where your feet
at. Be where your feet at. All right, let's get out of here. Quote of the day, and I had 2 that I was torn between, but I think this one by John C. Maxwell is the most fitting because we talked about mistakes earlier. Check this out. You must be big enough to admit your mistakes, smart enough to learn from them, and strong enough to correct them. John C. Maxwell. Big enough to admit them, strong enough to learn from them, smart enough to learn from them, strong enough to correct them. So regardless of what was, what has happened, that doesn't have to be what will be. And if you are strong enough to correct them, that means you got a fighting chance in this world to make an impact, right?
It's good.
Find your purpose. So, bruh, as always, man, I appreciate you. We've been doing this for a long time, and I don't see it stopping. We got some opportunities to continue to grow it. for our Purpose Addicts audience, if you haven't already, like, subscribe, share the show. Make sure you follow us on Spotify. Help drive the numbers up. If we get our subscribers up in Spotify, that opens up some new opportunities to expand the show. So we need your help to get us there. Share the podcast. We always appreciate it. Shane, what you got before we get out of here?
Footwork. If I don't have a big announcement when we record on Sunday, I need you to fuss at me.
If you don't have a big announcement on Sunday.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's a big announcement. If I don't announce a big step, if I don't announce a major move during footwork on Sunday, we need to have an execution conversation.
We got to have a conversation. Yeah. Folks, you heard it here. He just gave me permission to hold him accountable more so than ever. So, Sunday it is, sir.
Sunday it is.
Countdown, D-Day. Folks, that's Doc. I'm Coach Vic. As always, go live life on purpose. We out.
And I think a lot of times everybody's not going to understand your vision, your walk, your purpose, your desires, your dreams, your goals. And they don't have to, because I'm going to tell you a secret. Everybody ready? It's yours. It don't belong to them. It ain't they teeth to brush. Ain't they armpits to put deodorant on. It's yours.
This message is for anyone who is not answering the calling on their life. I want you to take note of something. That one thing, that one talent, that one gift you have, that idea that could give birth to a solution that possibly brings harmony to the world will never
be able
to breathe life if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. That's right, I said, if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. Too many times we settle for good things when we can have God things. And purpose is a God-given gift. Not everybody fulfills their purpose. Not everybody discovers it. Not everybody walks in it. But if you're willing to give up the good things to get to the God things, well, baby, I promise you, purpose, that's for you.
Failure is a part of success. I heard that somewhere. I didn't make that one. Failure is a part of success.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could try 10 times and you may not get it to your ninth, but what if that ninth try or that 10th try is the one that gets you that million? Instead of looking at what we have on the inside and utilizing our tools, we always look in other places and try to pull near, pull from there, when most of the time it's right here inside of. There are no problems. There's only solutions. Let's just be in a habit of fixing things or finding a way out.
My favorite quote that I learned is that fear does not stop death. It stops life. It stops us from living. And I need you. We all need you to live. Will you do it?